We're continuing our study this morning on the topic of true science. True science. We began to look at this very briefly 2 weeks ago, and then last week in a little bit more detail. And so by way of continuing the study and by way of review, who remembers the two? If something's going to be true science as compared to, remember how the verse says, science falsely so-called? There's a science out there that's false. It's not true science at all, but there's a true science. And we said there were two aspects to that. Who remembers what that was? It starts with God as the creator. Okay, God is the creator. We'll look at that again in just a second. And then what was the second one? Who remembers? And I think we covered this. Maybe we didn't. the first one, Genesis 1, verse 1 says what? You can turn there if you want. In the beginning, God created. Okay, so all true science is going to acknowledge God created everything. True science. Even evolution starts with a proposition. They argue against Christianity. They say you can't start with the proposition of there is a God. Well, but even evolution starts with the proposition. What is their proposition? There is no God. So the concept that evolution starts with the neutral position is absolutely not true. Nobody starts with a neutral position on anything that they believe. No one does. Okay? Everybody starts with some belief about something, whatever it is. If it's going to be biblical, scriptural science, it clearly starts with the proposition. And it makes no apology for it. And it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible or Bible believers in the Bible ever apologize for God, for His existence, for Him being the Creator and for us being responsible to Him. Therefore, you don't need to apologize for believing in God. Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? You don't need to apologize or feel bad about, I believe in God, I'm sorry, kind of a thing. Or people say it this way, I'm sorry, but I believe in God. What are you sorry about that for? Really? You don't need to be sorry for that. I believe in God. Fly your colors, as they say, right? So all true science starts with an understanding or at least a belief that God created. God created. The second point was, and this maybe we didn't go to, maybe we didn't get to, because I know we did run out of time, was that God created on and with a... There you go. Maybe we did cover that. Okay? But even if we didn't, that's okay. God created on purpose and with a purpose. Okay? Now, if you start with those two premises, and we're going to look at some verses here in just a moment. But if you start with those two premises, then if you're going to be interested in science, we said science means what, by the way? The word science just by itself means what? That's all it means. All it means is just knowledge, and there's lots of things to have knowledge about. But if you're going to be a true scientist, a true individual who's truly interested in knowing things, you got to start with, wait a minute, God, all things started with the Creator, God, and He created them on purpose. Now, and for a purpose. So if you're going to start there, what difference do you suppose that would make in your investigation and in your studies? What do you think? Will it make a difference, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, what difference? What difference will it make?
Classifications of knowledge.
Good. What else? Something else. Okay, it'll certainly suggest something about where you're going to get the information. Okay, anything, therefore, that denies one of those two, you're going to have to say, okay, I'm on the wrong track. Right? Anything that denies God created and there is a purpose of it, in other words, if you say there is no God and therefore there is no purpose, you're way off track. Okay? So if you start with these that God created and He created on and with a purpose, then what else is that going to give you as you're studying? What else is that going to produce as you're studying, as you're taking information in? There's a purpose to life, therefore. There's a purpose for everything that you do. There's a purpose and meaning for living. It's that basic. It's that simple. It's that essential. Okay? God created, and He did it on and with a purpose. Have you ever really sat and thought about that? If there is no God, then there is no purpose. Those of you here today, right here today, because maybe there are some here today that think there's no God. I hope that's not you, but maybe it is. I don't know. But a lot of people think there is no God. Others think, well, there may or may not be a God. I just don't know. Some say there is no God. That's what you call what? Some say, well, there might be a God, but I just don't know. What do you call that? Okay. Well, if you think there is no God, then in the end, what really is the purpose of everything?
He who has the most toys wins.
But if there's no God, they say he who dies with the most toys wins. But do you realize if there is no God, then when you die, you won't know whether you want or not. Then when you die, you won't even know you lived. So what's the point? That's yes, and that's true. But really and truly, they don't want to deal with the reality that there is no purpose. And you say there is no God, then you say there is no purpose. You die, and that's it. You know, the whole concept of reincarnation. That's how they want to get their hope and everything. I remember talking with one of my family members, and this goes back many years ago, several years ago, and so forth. And they were asking me why I didn't believe in resurrection. I'm sorry, why I didn't believe in reincarnation, okay? You got to catch me there. How many caught that? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, really. You know, what's that? Yeah, really. That's, what was that show, the Incredibles, when the ladies, can't pull yourself together, or whatever, you know? Okay, but anyway, and anyway, she asked me, why don't you believe in reincarnation? And I said, well, because Jesus believed in resurrection. The Bible teaches resurrection. Life teaches resurrection. You take that seed, you put it in the ground, and it decays. And in the decaying process, up comes the plant. That's exactly the illustration Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 15. Anyway, so if you think there's no God, then there's just no purpose. And think about what that means. That there's really no purpose to anything. To some, they say, well, the purpose then of life would be to make lots of money. Great. How are you doing against Bill Gates? Yeah, he won already. And even as wealthy as he is, you realize that his wealth, compared to some of the sultans of whatever those guys are, you know? So, if you think the purpose of life is to make more money than everybody else, you lost. Okay? So, next purpose. Okay? Okay, well, then the next purpose of life is to be more popular than anybody else. You still lost. Take the person that you think is more popular than anybody else in the world, and you realize that more than half the world doesn't even know that person. So, you lost again. All these things that we seek to do and that we think are going to give us purpose and meaning to life. Well, how about to get a city named after you? What about something like that? Or get a street name named after you? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. There's a street name up in Santa Ana, I guess it is, and I thought, man, that's one weird name. I didn't even know until maybe 2 weeks ago that it was named after a guy. So wasn't that impactful for him? Didn't he? People say, well, to get a name somewhere, a name engraved in something. Yeah, a headstone, you know. No. There is no God. There is no purpose. So if there's anybody here today and you think there's no God, really and truly, you have to deal with the fact, therefore, if there is no God, that there's just no purpose to it all. Live your life. Be a good person. Do what you can. Because in the end, you're dead, and you don't even know you're dead. You won't even know you ever lived. You won't even know it. You won't even know it. Because you don't exist anymore. See that?
Maybe that's
But when you come to the Bible, I'm running out of time. That's all. I'm sorry. Okay. And we are very informal here, right? We always enjoy and encourage interaction. But there's no way I'm going to get through all this morning. So, and we got food cooking too, right? For potluck lunch. So when you approach the Bible, if it's going to be true science, it's going to start with, in the beginning, God created. So you're going to acknowledge that things were created. They didn't happen by accident. They didn't happen by chance. And since God created, He created on purpose and with a purpose. All right? Now, look at a couple of passages, if you would, here. Go with me again to Genesis 1:1. Let's look at that. Get this verse in your mind. This is a verse everybody should have memorized anyway. It's the first verse in the Bible, right? Genesis 1:1, and look at this verse. After this service today, if you have never memorized Genesis 1:1, right now is a good time to do it. Right? So you can walk out of this church and you can say, hey, you know what? I actually learned something in church today, if you didn't know it before. And what does it say? Genesis 1:1 says this. Let's all say this together. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. See, you just learned a Bible verse if you've never learned one before. You got it right there. First verse in the Bible, right? In the beginning, God did what? God created the heaven and the earth. Turn over to chapter number 2. Turn over to chapter number 2. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, these are the generations of the heavens. Notice by this time it's plural. Did you catch that, by the way? It was singular in chapter 1, verse 1. Now it's plural, okay? Because he created something, some structure and so forth back in chapter number 1. Anyway, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were what?
Created
in the day that the Lord God, what? Made the heaven and the earth. See, if you're going to call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, you're interested in true science. You have to start with the declaration that the Bible sets forth. And it says God created. You have to start there. To start anywhere else and call it true science, your starting point is wrong, according to the Scripture. Okay? So we're not even talking about other conclusions yet. We're just still at a starting point here. In the beginning, God, what?
Created.
You look at the creation out there and it says there was a creator. You're going to study some aspects, whether it's animal science or whether it's mathematics or physics or astronomy, whatever it might be. You're going to have to say, wait a minute, this was created. This was created. Not only that, go with me if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 3. Look over to Proverbs and chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, it's created and it's created on and with a purpose. It's created and it's created on and with a purpose. Proverbs chapter number 3, and look at verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. And notice what it says here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 says this. It says, the Lord, by what?
Wisdom.
By wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Okay, if you didn't know a whole lot else about the Bible and things like that, but if you read that verse and you're going to believe that verse, then what do you know about the earth? What do you know about the earth?
The Lord founded it.
Okay, the Lord founded it, and the Lord founded it how?
By what?
Before that, by what? By wisdom. So that means that if you're going to study some things about the earth, if it was founded by wisdom, that means if you're going to study something like geology, true geology, you're going to look at it from the standpoint of a creator with a purpose, and there was wisdom behind the creation of the earth. Instead of saying, well, geology says it was all happened by accident. See that? Not only that, when you're going to look into the heavens, it says, by understanding hath he established the heavens. When God established the heavens, there was some understanding that he had when he put that in place out there. Now,
between wisdom and understanding.
Okay, that's a great question. Let me answer it real quickly if I can. Knowledge, wisdom, and prudence. Knowledge is just information. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Prudence is the timing that you apply the wisdom, which is the right use of the knowledge. So when he says here, by wisdom has he created the earth, by understanding he created the heavens, there was something to do with the right use of knowledge as to why he created the earth. And it had to do with the destruction of the satanic program out of the heavenly places. Anyway, it's another whole subject, okay? Anyway. Alright. So you can see that the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. Go to Isaiah 45 now. Go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 here. Watch this. Look over to Isaiah 45 and start with me at verse 18. Again, we're looking at this issue. He created it, and he created on and with a purpose. There's purpose behind all this. Isaiah 45 verse 18. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says this. For thus saith the Lord that did, there it is again, that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. What did Isaiah believe about where it all came from? Came from God. Okay, now watch this. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. Okay, stop there before you read the rest of the verse. To create something in vain would be what? To do it no purpose. So if you create it not in vain, what are you saying? There's a reason behind it. Exactly. Okay, but look what he says here. He says, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be what? Now, wait a minute. What in the world does that mean? When you say he formed it to be, what does it mean to inhabit something? To live there. Who do you suppose that when God created and formed the earth, who do you suppose he intended, who do you suppose that he intended would live there?
Himself.
Man. The animals. What I'm driving at, listen. See, when God formed the earth, he created it on purpose. And the purpose was to live there, to dwell there, to function there, to think there, to learn there. Isn't that fascinating? God created the earth on purpose. First of all, so that he would live there. He intended to take his dwelling out beyond the third heavens and actually have it come in beyond the earth. We're going to go through some things in this study. We won't get through all this today, but I promise you it's going to blow your mind. Okay, and you're going to think, I am just nutso. All right? But, I probably am, but anyway, okay. But, all I'm going to ask you to do is consider the verses. And let the verses be right. Give to the Word of God the benefit of the doubt. And say, okay, Lord, you're saying something here for some reason. God created the earth so that he could live here, but not just he by himself. Obviously, he created man, created animals, and so forth. What I'm saying is God created this on and with a purpose. Let me ask you. Let's say that you had the opportunity to create your own living space, your own environment, which most of y'all do, right? Ask my kids about their dirty bedroom. Okay, anyway. But most of you have the opportunity to create your own living space, your own environment, etc., things like that. What would it be like? Cool, he says. What does that mean? Cool to this person is different than that person, right? But what would it be like? What would you have there? Just think about what all you would put there.
Do we have money to spend on it?
What's that?
Do we have money?
Yeah, you've got unlimited resources to spend on it, right? Okay? Don't come to me, by the way. But if you had the opportunity to create your own living environment, what would it be like? It would be like what you want it to be like, right? You wouldn't put something there that you hated, I don't think, unless you're crazy. When God created the earth, God uses phrases like he formed it, he fashioned it. When God put the various kinds of animals on this earth, when he put the various kinds of plants that he put, when you have sea, land, atmosphere, climate. Why was all that here? Did God flip a coin and decide that? No. God was creating an environment in which he was going to live and dwell. He created it on purpose. Quickly, Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and notice verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11 says this. These are the seraphim that are declaring this to God as the Creator, and they say this, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." When you look at the creation, now granted, we look at the creation out there and you understand it is under a curse. It's been after the fall and after the flood and so forth. It's all scarred, even as beautiful as it is. But when God created this earth and the heavens, He created it on purpose. And you can see it says here, "For Thy pleasure they are and were created." When God put the things on the earth that He did, when God formed the earth like He did everything about it, He did it for His pleasure. Now, to some people, that's a negative aspect. To some people say, well, that's kind of selfish. But if you think of it that way, when you think of it selfish, understand, does God have any sinful thoughts?
No.
Does God have any selfish thoughts?
No.
One man said, all the arrows of God are outward. The cross of Christ, Christ died for our sins while we were yet sinners. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's thoughts are not self-centered. They're Christ-centered. And He gave Christ for humanity. So when that verse says, "For Thy pleasure they were created," it's not a sinful, self-indulgent type of a thing. Let me try to illustrate. How many of you enjoy living on planet Earth? Only a couple? You haven't tried the other planets yet, right? Okay, he says. How many of you enjoy the fact that you can, in fact, do this? Everybody, watch me do this, go. Take a deep breath in. Yeah, can you we got Tyler back there. Okay. You realize God doesn't charge us rent to live on His earth. Now, your landlord does, right? And your mortgage company makes sure you keep up. God doesn't charge us to breathe His air. God doesn't charge us to drink His water. God didn't charge us for sunshine or the cold. Some of you don't like the cold this morning, but it's beneficial, right? God, think of all the things living on this planet that you enjoy. How many of you like fruit? I mean, I love fruit. I mean, everybody loves fruit. You know, the peaches, the nectarines, the watermelon, the cantaloupe. So how many of you like to eat? Some more than others, right? Do you get pleasure out of eating?
Too much.
Too much, yeah. That's right. Do you get pleasure out of it? When that verse says, "For Thy pleasure," God created this creation and He said, "Will you enjoy it with me?" That's the sense of "For Thy pleasure." God says, look at the creation out here. And all God's wisdom, God's genius, His design in the plants and the animals and the fruit, the food, the crops, the fruit, the sea life, the bird life. He says, can you get pleasure out of that? What's the answer? Oh my, yes. God, it's all created and is created on purpose. And God created it to be inhabited. He wants to dwell there and He wants to share it with people. God's not like us. Especially when we were kids. That's mine! Nobody else touch it! God says, please, it's all mine, but everybody touch it! Come and enjoy it! Partake of it! Isn't that amazing to think about that? Now watch this. Go back with me quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 again. Genesis chapter number 1. Watch this. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Do you realize the different outcome that you would have if when you studied the sciences If you started with the belief, wait, this was created by God on purpose, with the purpose that not only God would enjoy it, but that we could enjoy it with it. Do you understand the different outcome you're going to arrive at, the different conclusion you arrive at, as compared to when you start, there is no God, there is no purpose, it's just all here by accident. It's a drastically different conclusion. Now watch this. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. And here's the pop quiz. And I told you ahead of time this was coming, right? I told you last week. Then he wrote verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. I'm at Genesis 1:26. And let them have dominion over... What does it say there? Okay, so now you have one of the realms. You've got the sea. And he mentions what about the sea? Okay, about the fish, the sea life, okay? So if God had dominion over the fish of the sea, and then over the body of the... Break's over. All right, sorry about that. Are we back on? Okay, very good, thanks. Thank you for our technical directors back there, Ken and Dan. All right, anyway, so you've got... and for his dance, there we go. Okay, you've got the fish of the sea. What's next? Okay, so you've got the air, the atmosphere, foul. And now what do you have? Okay. You've got cattle and you've got what? And the creeping things, okay? And everything, all right? Do you see the three realms? What are the three realms there? You've got the sea, you've got the atmosphere, and you've got the earth. Okay, now think about what he said here. Verse 26 again. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have what?
Dominion.
What does that mean? What does that mean? How many of you have a garden? How many of you have to weed your garden? Therefore, you don't have dominion over it, really and truly. Right? If you don't take care of those tomato plants and this and that, the weeds are done going to have dominion, right? See, when that verse says, let us make man our image and let them have dominion, what would it mean for man to have dominion not only over the sea, but the creatures in the sea? What would it mean for man to have dominion over the air and the fowls that are in the air, the flying creatures? What would it mean for man to have dominion over the earth and all the creatures on the earth? Just think about what that means. How many of you have dominion over the air right now?
Gravity.
What's that?
Gravity
sure keeps you down. Interesting. And you're probably happy it does, right? How many of you have dominion over the sea? Listen, if God created man to have dominion, and yet we don't have dominion over it, what's that tell us? There's a problem. Somewhere along the way, a problem happened. We're going to get to that in another study and so forth. What I'm driving at is God created everything. He created on purpose, and there are three realms in which man is to have dominion over: the sea, the air, and the earth. Okay, so now let's look at this from science standpoint. Science, the word just means knowledge. What different categories of, and here's the pop quiz, okay? What are the different categories that you could, what kinds of categories of science could you put under these right here? Let's go. Okay, what about sea? What would it be? Oceanography. If I first of all, I have terrible spelling, terrible handwriting. If I have to write this all out, it's going to take way too long, okay? So just write that down. Oceanography. What else? Another one for the sea. Okay, marine biology, good. Excellent. I'm not going to write these all down because we're going to run out of time. Marine biology, good. What? Give me another one.
Marine ecology.
Marine ecology, very good. I didn't think about that one. That's very good. What else? Another one for the sea. What else for the sea?
Weather.
And it's interesting. Weather's going to tie in with this one as well as that one. Isn't it interesting? Meteorology, things like that. What else about the sea? Anything else? What else about the sea? Okay, let's for time's sake, he says, and the fish of the sea. What about that? What kind of studies could you do about that? What's that? Zoology would be part of it. That's going to encompass more than just the sea. But what else? What's that? Okay, he says ichthyology. Is that a study of things that are icky or what? Okay, no. Okay, ichthyology, he says. I have no idea what that word means, but I'm going to take... Is that the study of fish? Perfect, good. What else is in the sea? What else is in the sea? Minerals. Excellent. What else is in the sea?
Water.
So study about... How about the currents in the sea, the various plants in the sea? Oxygen. Think about that. What else about the, anything else about the sea? We're going quickly here, but I mean, could you just fill that in? God said, "Let us make man." Adam, Eve, and their descendants and so forth, they were supposed to think about, study about, learn about all these different categories. And remember, this was before the fall, so they wouldn't have had the sinful nature involved in the thinking process that corrupts the thinking process. They would have been able to think with the wisdom that God taught them and gave to them. We'll see that in just a second, if I can hurry, okay? All right, quickly, the air. The atmosphere. What are some disciplines here? Meteorology. What else? Astronomy. Good. What else? I know you're saying a bunch of things.
Astrology.
Depending on how they define it, right? Aerodynamics, a big one. Very good. What else? Again, okay. Now, Irv. Irv has a specialty that he loves to study. And I asked him this morning. I told him I was going to put him on the spot here. Irv, what do you like to study? What do you like to take pictures of?
Birds.
What's the study of birds called? Ornithology. How's that for a great word? There's the study of ornithology. See, you're in the Bible there. Did you know it? You did, right? There you go. Ornithology. How's that? What else? What are some other ones here?
Geology.
We'll get to Earth, right? But obviously there's an effect here, right? What else about anything in the air?
Aviation.
Very good. All the different things about flying and so forth. Do you think Adam ever thought, what would it be like to fly? What's that? Leonardo da Vinci did, okay. Of course Adam thought about things like that. Okay, quickly, let's move on to the Earth. Okay, what are some disciplines you could learn about the Earth?
Geology.
What else?
Agriculture.
Good. What else?
Meteorology.
Yeah, meteorology related to that one there. What horticulture. Is that what you said? Horticulture. Good. What else? And if you're going to study the cattle, you've got animal science. You've got the creeping things. I forget that. Mark told us the name. What was... Was it entomology, chemistry, mathematics? Look at that. Just in Genesis chapter number 1 right here. If man was created for the purpose of having dominion over the realms here, even the ones in which he didn't necessarily live, think about what true science would have meant to him. See that? So if we approach it from that standpoint, if we approach it, listen, God created this. He created it on and with a purpose. Not just that He would have pleasure in it, but as we study it, we'll learn about the pleasure that it brings to God. We'll enjoy the pleasure it brings to us as well. Now, quickly, chapter 2. Chapter number 2, real quickly here. Let me give you a real simple illustration of this principle here. Watch this. Genesis chapter number 2. Verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Some people do say that's the first mistake God made. Anyway, verse 19. It says, some of y'all didn't get that. That's a joke, okay? All right. All right. Lord, you notice Lori's not here. She would have completely she'd probably thrown a book at me just that she's not here today. She's in San Diego. All right, keep reading. Look what it says here. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Now stop there. Who is it that actually brought the creatures and paraded them, in a sense, that's maybe not the best way to say it, but brought the creatures to Adam and said, "Adam, take a look at that thing." God did that. God didn't just leave Adam out to his own discovery. God brought the various creatures and said, "Adam, take a look at that." And God says to Adam, "Now, Adam, what would you call that thing?" Because, look, the verse says, it says right here, it says, "And brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them." So whose decision was it going to be to name the animals? Adam's decision. Now look at the next statement. It says, to see what he would call them, "And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." See, that verse isn't saying this. Okay, Adam, you called that an animal. Okay, I guess we'll call it an animal. That's what that verse is saying. A lion. If Adam says, we'll call this a giraffe, God says, well, okay, I guess we'll call it that. That isn't what that's saying. God brings these animals to Adam. Adam studies the animals. He thinks about them and so forth, watches what they do. And Adam says, wow, that thing's a giraffe. And God says, that's exactly right. Adam says, that thing's a lion. And God says, yep, you're right again. Adam says, that's a zebra. And God says, 3 for 3. You see what's going on here? Adam was studying the creation. This is before the fall. He was using the information God had taught him. He looked, he understood there was a purpose and design to everything. And as Adam thought about it, he came to the same conclusion that God already had come to when he created everything. See the difference there? Isn't that fascinating? Listen, true science will do something similar to that right there. It'll study something. And it'll come to the same conclusion about it that God has come to about it. Isn't that amazing? Paul warns Timothy, he says, watch out for science falsely so-called. A science out there that's going to lead people away from the conviction and belief that God as creator created things on and with a purpose. And that purpose, part of that purpose was for Him not only to enjoy it, but for Him to enjoy it with His creatures. Instead, we can look at information out there, we can study it, and we can say, wow, Lord, this is what it is. And God will say, yep, that's exactly right. That fascinates me about Adam here, as he's doing this. Even after the fall, when Adam and Eve had sinned, when he first sees the woman, he doesn't call her Eve. He calls her woman, because she's taken out of man. Again, he looks at the situation, he realizes it, and said, this is what this means. God says, that's right, she's woman, she's taken out of man. But even after the fall, he listens to what God tells him about redemption and so forth. And it's after the fall that Adam names his wife. Anybody know what she was named? Eve. You know what that means? Living. The mother of all living. You know what that means? Adam, even after the fall, was still thinking that, you know what? God, you're the only one that can get us out of this. And you just promised to do it with the seed of the woman. So I'm going to call her Eve. Because Eve means living. From her is going to come the seed that's going to rescue us out of this. What an amazing story. There is only... Listen, praise God, the seed of the woman. Who is the seed of the woman that is the Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who did what? Died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Such a simple message. Such a simple offer. Paul says, Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. Are you thankful that it is that simple? We really are. Yeah. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time to look into Your Word this morning and pray and ask that as we continue this series about science and creation, that we would be excited about it and thrilled about it and be able to approach it with the simplicity of faith, trusting that You, who are the Creator, You knew and know what You're talking about. You know all the reasons, the purposes, the whys and the wherefores, and that we can come to You by faith, reading what Your Word says, gaining that insight and wisdom, and rejoicing in these things with You. In Christ's name, amen.